We're looking today at the 18th verse. I'm sure that many of you will recognize these words. You may well have heard them quoted many times if you haven't personally memorized them and learned them. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In this chapter, the Lord speaks about the path of life. And there are many words of wisdom, even in this small section of the book that we have read, relating to how we are to walk. And if we were to go down through the verses, you would see that many of them contain that sort of language, speaking of the feet, or the direction, or the path. The Lord is addressing the way in which we walk, the way in which we live. It becomes obvious as we look at our text and the surrounding verses that the Lord is speaking here of two paths in life. One, which will be our consideration today, is described in verse 18 as the path of the just. And in verse 19 and other verses in the chapter describe the way of the wicked, or the path of the wicked, or the way of evil men. There are just these two paths to be considered. And if you're not in the path of the just today, you're in the path of the wicked. It's such a simple thing, and yet many will neglect it, and many will ignore it. That unless we are among the just and following the path of the just, then we are among the wicked, on the path of the wicked, headed for the destination of the wicked. It is obviously the intention of the speaker here to turn the feet of those whom he addresses in this portion, to turn them into the path of the just, to have them walk in this path. Now, he does this in two ways. He speaks of the path of the just in such a way as to make it appear to be the attractive path. It is the path of blessing. It is the path that will bring benefit. It is the path that leads to a hopeful and a blessed and a glorious end. And so that is a means of encouraging those who read these words to turn into the path of the just and to walk in that way. But then on the other side of the question, he speaks of the opposite path, the path of the wicked, in such a way as to make it unappealing, to speak of the dangers, to speak of the reality of judgment, to speak of the end of that path, to speak of the horrors of that way, in order to turn the feet of those he addresses out of that path and have them seek the path of the just. And I want us to look at the verse 18 today. And just to notice that here the Lord points out some features of the path of the just that contrast it with the way of the wicked and make the path of the just a very desirable path to be on. We want to think of the path of the just, or the path of the righteous. Let me point out first of all that the path of the righteous is a path of light. The path of the just is as the shining light. Before we go any further, let me just observe who the just man is here. Who are the just? I have used already that word righteous. That's what the word means. Here is a righteous man. Here are those who are righteous before God, and they walk in a certain path. The righteous man in the scripture is one who has been justified, one who has been pardoned from his sin, one who is saved by the grace of God, one who is accepted as righteous before God because that sinner has trusted Christ. This is the path of the just. It is the path of those who are trusting Christ and resting in what he has done in order to have peace with God and to have sin pardoned and forgiven. This is the path of those who have come to God by Christ. They have been reconciled to God, recognizing that they are enemies. They have trusted Christ. They have stood, as it were, before the bar of God's justice. And in trusting the Savior, they have been freed from condemnation and from the penalty and punishment of their sin. And they have been accepted as God by righteous, or as righteous, for Jesus' sake. Now this man, this justified man, this man who's trusting Christ, this believer in Jesus, his path is a pathway of light. He is, therefore, an illuminated man. He is a man who walks in the light. He is a man upon whom the light of God has shone. He is no longer in darkness. He is rather a man illuminated by the grace of God. Now the specific contrast that is in view here is a contrast between the way of holiness and the way of sin. There are many things that we could think about if we wanted to just broaden out our study of this idea of the path of the just being as a light. Light in Scripture is symbolic of many things. You could think of how it is an easy path. You could think of the fact that it is a path of comfort and peace and joy and blessing. All these things are linked with the concept of light. But specifically in the context, and this is what I want us to consider today, the contrast that is brought to our attention here in the context relates to the fact that the path of the just is a light because it is a holy path. It stands in contrast to the way of the wicked. In the immediate context, from verse 14 through to verse 17, you'll read of some of the activities of the wicked men, of how they are restless and ceaseless in their sin. And various sins and violence are referred to there. And verse 18 begins, But the path of the just. It's a different path entirely. It's light in contrast with the darkness of a wicked path. And it is the moral nature of the path that is contrasted in these terms, light and darkness. Let's just follow that line of thought for a moment or two. Turn back to chapter 2 of this same book and the verse 13. And let me just show you that there you have an example of this same kind of contrast. He's speaking of wisdom, verse 12, delivering thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward or rebellious things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the paths of darkness. Now, here you have it in slightly different terminology, but you have the same contrast. The way of sin is darkness, and it's contrasted with what is described in verse 13 as the paths of uprightness. That's what the path of the just is. That's why it is as the shining light, because it is a path of uprightness. Another word for holiness. Another word for obedience to the law of God and obedience to the will of God. Let's take a New Testament reference in John chapter 8 and the verse 12. We learn something more here about this path of light that is followed by the just. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here then again is the path of the just described in a similar fashion. We notice that there are important statements made in the verse 12. The path is walked by those who follow Christ. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The man who walks in this path of light, this path of the just, is a man who follows the Lord Jesus. I have indicated already that the just man is one who trusts in Christ. He is a man more than that who follows Christ. To trust the Savior is to follow Him, is to follow His example, it is to walk in His footsteps, it is to do as He does, it is to be led by Him. The path of the just is the path of light inasmuch as it is the path that Christ walked. And the just are those who walk in light inasmuch as they follow Christ, who is the light of the world. But notice something else in the verse 12. They walk. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Earlier in this same epistle, we read the statement, in him was life, or light, and the light was the life of men. The path of the just is a path of light because those who walk in it have the very life of Christ. They live in him. They are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. They are alive unto God. They are in the light. They follow Christ. They have his life. They trust in him. They are pardoned and forgiven, for they are just. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's take it a little further. For this is a very common line of thought in the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, there still is the same idea of a path here. You're to walk as children of light. The apostle is addressing believers. And he's saying to them, there was a time whenever you were in darkness. This epistle is to be noted for its contrast between then and now in the life of the Christian. Once dead, now alive. Once far off, now brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Once darkness, now light. This is the contrast. Even in the life of the child of God. What they once were was darkness, but not now. They're light. They're in the path of the just. They're in that path that is described in our text as the shining light. But look again at Ephesians 5 and 8 and notice why it is they're in the light. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. In the Lord. It is as they are in the Lord that they are in the light. There are many who come close to the Lord and remain in darkness. There are children who grow up under the influence of the gospel and they're still in darkness. They're close to the Lord in one sense, in that they're part of a home where the Lord is. But the sinner is in darkness until he is in the Lord himself. Until he is brought into union with Christ by the Spirit of God, it is only as we are in the Lord that we are in the light and in the path of the just. So we have these ideas developing. We have seen that the man who is walking in this path of life, path of light, he's a just man. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus. He has the life of Christ. We learn now that this is because he's in Christ. He's in the Lord. This is why he walks as a child of light. Let's take another reference. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9. Again, there is a contrast in view between what the sinner is and what the Christian is. But ye, verse 9, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter tells us that these believers are in his marvelous light. That's the light that characterizes the path of the just. It's a marvelous light. It's the very light of God himself. But you see what he says there. These believers were in the light because of the call of God. Because God called them. Because God saved them. Because he beckoned them and drew them to himself. He called them out of darkness in his sovereign will and brought them into his marvelous light. Let me finish with the words of 1 John chapter 1. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can claim to be a Christian, but if you're not walking in the light, you're not That's what John says. If you walk in darkness, in other words, if you're living the kind of life that gives evidence of sin rather than evidence of holiness, and you claim to be a Christian, John says you're a liar. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The basis of our fellowship with God and our walking in the light is the blood of Christ. That's how a man is justified. He's justified by faith in the blood of Jesus, the apostle tells us. Here is the blood of Christ. It cleanses from sin. And what does it do? It brings us into the company of God, and we walk in the light just as he is in the light. Again, in this same epistle in chapter 2 and the verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The path or the life of those who are justified by the saving grace of God, who have trusted Christ's blood, who are followers of him, who are in the Lord, who have the life of the Lord, their path is a path of light. It is a path that is in opposition to and contrast to the darkness of sin and wickedness. It is a path of holiness. It is a path of purity. It is a path of godliness. We have seen that in 1 John 1 and 7. It's the very light of God. It's his marvelous light. It is godliness or godlikeness that characterizes the path of the just. Now, are you in this path? Or are you in the path of darkness? Are you in the Lord? Are you trusting in Christ? Have you been washed in his blood? Have you been pardoned and cleansed from sin? That's the only way to walk in the way of light. The path of the righteous is a path of light. But I want you to notice in the second place that the righteous continue in this path until the perfect day. That's what the word says here. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, those who are in the path of the just, the righteous man, the one who is in Christ, the one who has the life of Christ, will follow this path until the end, until the perfect day. Now we can look at the day that is referred to here in two different ways. What is the perfect day? To put it simply, the perfect day is the day of glory. But that day comes to us in two different ways. In that, there are some Christians who arrive at that day and they die and they go to glory to be with the Lord. There are others who will see the return of Christ, the day of glory in a different sense, for they will visibly see the return of the Lord Jesus. But either way, that perfect day that is referred to here is the day in which the saint of God enters into the glory of Christ. That's the perfect day. It's a perfect day in that it will be a day in which all darkness is forever put away. Remember that in the context here, the darkness will refer to the works of sin and ungodliness and evil things. And for the Christian, there's a day coming when sin will be forever put away. We struggle, we strive against it, we wrestle against it, we pray for holiness, we work for holiness here upon the earth, but there's a day coming, it's a perfect day, when all that darkness of sin will be forever put away. Whether that will be at the time of our death or at the time of Christ's appearing, that is the hope of the Christian. That is what they labor towards. That is what they look towards. The child of God, or the just man as spoken of here, is one who lives with his eye ever upon heaven. He lives ever looking to that day. This is the path he takes. This is the path he follows. It is a path that is going to climax in the perfect day. It is a path that is traveling toward the light, that is traveling toward the dawn of a new day. He's traveling toward Christ. We could take the words of the Apostle Paul. They're very different words with a very different picture, but it's exactly the same thought. When he spoke in Philippians 3 of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it's exactly the same thing that's in view here. It's the path of the just, and he's pressing on until that day when sin will be put away and when he will be perfected in the likeness and the image of Christ. In contrast to this, verse 19 speaks of the way of the wicked being darkness and a path that leads to a fall. They stumble. They know not at what they stumble. A sudden fall, an unexpected fall. Suddenly, in their darkness, they fall and are cut off. But the Christian is one in his justified state who presses on toward the day of the Lord. He presses on towards glory. You see, the justified man is not one to turn back. Here is the mark of the just. He does not turn back. Those in whom God has done a true work of grace press on toward the mark. The path of the just is as the shining light, and he presses on in that path until the perfect day. Those who are justified. And let's just bring in for a moment the language of Romans 8 and 29 and 30. Those who are justified will be glorified in their experience. As the words are recorded there, they're written in the past tense. Them whom he also justified, them he glorified. Those who are in the path of the just are those who will see heaven. They press on. They do not turn aside. They do not go back. As Paul said in Hebrews 10 and 39, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition or unto damnation. We do not go back. We press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here is a mark of the righteous then. They press on in the path. The true Christian is one who will persevere in grace to the end. He will go on. He will not go back. Oh, the false professor will go back. For a time it might look like he has Christianity. For a time it might look, perhaps in infancy or childhood, it might look like there's a work of grace. But then they grow up a bit and it becomes obvious. There's no work of grace there at all. They're not in the path of the just because they've gone back to the ways of darkness. The truly justified, he walks in the light. And he presses on in the light toward that perfect day when he will see the Lord and the Son of Righteousness shall rise. But I want to observe in closing that the path of the just is not only a path of light and a path that will be pursued by the just until the day they meet the Lord, but the path of the just is one that evidences increasing light. Now here's a striking thing. The path of the just is as the shining light, and it shineth more and more until the perfect day. The teaching of the verse seems to be that the closer that the saint gets to the day of the Lord, the more like Christ he will be. The more he progresses in the path of righteousness, the brighter he will be. As he goes on in his Christian life, there will be more of Christ about him. There will be more of the light of truth about him. There will be more of the light of the gospel, more of the light of Christ, more evidence that he's in the Lord, that he's a follower of Christ, that he has the light of life within him. It's a statement then that makes us think of two things. It makes us think first of the sovereign purpose of God. Because the sovereign purpose of God in the life of those whom he saves is a purpose to advance grace and holiness. It is a purpose to lead the justified sinner more and more and more into the light of God's truth and the light of God's grace. You see, it is the purpose of God that the saved sinner grows. It is the purpose of God that grace develops in the soul in which it resides. That the work of the Spirit increases, just as we expect a plant to grow and to bear more and more and more fruit, to become more and more productive. Just as we expect a child to grow and to develop and to mature and to become strong and to show more and more evidence of health and life. So it is the sovereign purpose of God, as grace works in the soul of the justified sinner, of the sinner who trusts Christ, grace begins to work. At first it seems to be such a small thing. There may only be a few evidences of life, but they'll always be there. But that will develop. That will grow. For the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So that statement makes us think of the sovereign purpose of God. We've already used the words of Romans 8 and 29, and you will see there the development, the stages of the sovereign purpose of God in salvation. The foreknowledge, the calling, the justification, the glorification. It progresses. It never stalls at any point. It never stops at any point. It goes on. This is the mark of the true Christian. There's growth. There's development. No man who comes to realize that in his own life there is no development of grace, there is no growth in grace, can ever rest content or ever be happy about his own salvation. You can't be. There is no grounds for assurance of salvation if there is no growth in grace. Because God's purpose is more and more and more unto that perfect day. Hosea chapter 6 and the verse 3 indicate something of this sovereign purpose as well. Hosea chapter 6. And the words of the verse 1 are probably familiar words to you. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. You'll see that there is a dawn spoken of here, the imagery of light. We could reflect upon it as the perfect day, the Lord coming. He comes forth as the morning. But the statement in verse 3 is, then shall we know. And you'll see that the word if is supplied by our translators. And perhaps gives the wrong idea entirely. Because there is not a condition here. But it is rather a statement of absolute truth. Then shall we know as we follow on to know. We shall know as we follow on to know. And it's the same thought that is in the words of our text, more and more. We shall know the Lord. We shall know him as he, we shall experience him as he comes as the morning. We shall see the perfect day as we follow on to know. That's the work of grace. It is a developing work. It is one that grows. It is a process. It's not a single solitary act of God in one point of time that never goes anywhere. God saves the soul. There is a development. There is a path that gives more and more evidence of holiness, godliness, and life. Oh, in the Christian life, there should be progress. This brings us to the second thought. If this statement in verse 18 makes us think about the sovereign purpose of God, it also causes us to reflect upon the duty of the Christian. Because it is the duty of the Christian to grow in grace and to progress in holiness as he lives. This is the path of the just man. It's the path of progress. The path of the justified is a path of progressive holiness. Now here's where self-examination comes in. Is there about our life growth in grace, progress. Some professing Christians that I have met have no up-to-date experience with God at all. They're relying on something that happened to them 30, 40 years ago. And they cannot identify with the words in this text. The path of the righteous is a path that develops in holiness. It is a path about which there are more and more of the signs of life and grace and the very light of God's presence and power. You are to grow, dear Christian. And it's only as you grow that we can have confidence that we're in the path of the just. We can have confidence that we are in the path of the just as the Spirit of God at work within us day by day produces more and more and more evidence of godliness and holiness. When God saves the sinner, there's a lot of work to do. When God saves the sinner, there's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of the work. Oh, as far as their legal state before God, they're justified. They'll be in heaven. But as far as their life is concerned here upon the earth, there's such a lot of sin to be dealt with. And God begins to work and by His Spirit begins to convict of this sin and that sin and more and more and little by little. But nonetheless, increasingly, there will be a dealing with sin. An increasing contrast to the world. The way of the wicked is darkness, but the way of the just is not only light, it's increasingly bright. There is an increasing contrast to the way of sin, the way of wickedness. That's the path of the Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's take verse 17 just for the context. Paul has been speaking of the ministry of the gospel and contrasting it with the ministry of the law in the Mosaic era. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here is increasing brightness in the life of the Christian. It comes as with open face we look into the mirror of truth. Unlike the Jewish nation that he has been speaking of, using the analogy of Moses' veil, unable to look into the face of God, that nation has been blinded. There is a veil upon their hearts, but we, in the light of the gospel, God in His mercy has taken away the veil. We look into the glass of the Word of God. We see reflected there the glory of Christ. And as we look on this, as we look to Christ in the gospel, in His Word, you see what happens? We are changed into the same image. We are made like Him. From glory to glory. And that's just an idiomatic statement meaning increasing glory. Going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Taking steps more and more and more like the Lord. That's what He's saying. It's the work of the Spirit of God. It's done or accomplished as Christ is looked to in His Word. These are necessary things for the Christian. He's to grow in grace. He's to progress in holiness. He's to become brighter and brighter and brighter as he progresses toward that perfect day. He can only do so as he takes this word and looks to Christ and by the Spirit of God is made like Christ. Now that's the path of the just. Are you in that path? Can you say, by God's grace, like Paul said to the Ephesians, I once was in darkness, but now I'm light in the Lord. And if yesterday or the day before I was in the light, now today I'm in greater light. There's more of the glory of the Lord in my life. There's more of the knowledge of God in my life. Can we say that? Oh, the true Christian must lament his backslidings and his shortcomings, but the simple rule or the overall picture of his life is one of progress. Going on, pressing forward toward that perfect day. Is that how you're living? Is that how you're living? But that's the path that leads to glory. If the path of the just leads to perfect day, the path of the wicked leads to perfect night. It leads to what the scripture describes as the blackness of darkness forever. It leads to that again which the word of God refers to as the mist of darkness, where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. But the path of the just, the righteous man is a man who lives in the light of God, more and more and more and more, until that day he reaches glory. And the Lord help us to press on. If you're a Christian today, press on in the path. You may feel that now, oh, in my weakness and in my sin, there's not much light about me. And the Lord knows that. But he still loved you and he still saved you. And he has begun a work. And the idea is that there will be more light tomorrow. That there will be greater likeness to him the next day. Submit yourself to the working of the Spirit of God through the Scriptures. And then the light of the Lord will be seen in your life.